Black Friday ever is on. Save up to 50% on Black Friday deals, plus get free shipping on everything. With massive deals on Dell computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors, the hottest gaming gear, and savings on top brand electronics like Samsung TVs, it's the one sale of the year you don't want to miss. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/Black Friday. Quantities are limited. Call 800-BUY-DELL for more Black Friday deals.
Mexican drug lord Joaquin Guzman's lawyers drop a bombshell allegation on the first day of his trial in New York City. In opening remarks yesterday, a lawyer for El Chapo claimed the current and former presidents of Mexico took bribes from the real leader of the drug cartel. Spokespersons for the current and former presidents of Mexico flatly deny that. Maryland's Democratic Attorney General Brian Frosch has filed a lawsuit challenging President Trump's choice as acting U.S. Attorney General. Here's reporter Jill Powell in Maryland.
Calling the president's choice illegal and unconstitutional, Frosch contends that Deputy U.S. Attorney General Rod Rosenstein should be declared the acting attorney general. After Jeff Sessions was booted out last week, Chief of Staff Matthew Whitaker was named to the post. Frosch says in a statement, President Trump's brazen attempt to flout the law and Constitution by bypassing Rosenstein in favor of a partisan and unqualified staffer cannot stand.
And this is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The Los Angeles Rams are giving out free football tickets to victims and to first responders in Thousand Oaks. The Rams have a home game against the Kansas City Chiefs this upcoming Monday night, and the team says thousands of tickets to the game will be going to the first responders and people who've been impacted by the community's recent tragedies. Last week, a gunman killed 12 people in a mass shooting at a bar in Thousand Oaks, and two people have died in the Woolsey fire that has scorched over 90,000 acres in that very same area. A man who's believed to be a white nationalist who was a friend of the suspected Pittsburgh Tree of Life synagogue shooter is now under arrest on gun charges. Jeffrey Clark was charged with illegal possession of high-capacity firearms magazines and unlawful guns and is scheduled to appear in court on Friday. An FBI affidavit claims Clark knew Tree of Life suspect Robert Bowers through the Gab social media site. Clark discussed killing Jews and African Americans on that site. And tonight is country music's biggest night. It's the 52nd annual CMA Awards. They'll take place at Nashville's Bridgestone Arena. They'll also air live on ABC with Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley returning to host the award show for the 11th straight year. Jason Aldean, Miranda Lambert, Dierks Bentley, and Garth Brooks among dozens of performers.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Huntington Chamber Radio. And the weather today, we've got a mostly sunny, high of 40. It's really nice. Enjoy it, because tomorrow we're looking at snow and sleet, chance of 90%, high of 34, continuing through Thursday night with a wintry mix and rain of snow. Friday, rain, and Friday night, more rain, and again, low of 32 Friday night. Saturday, the sun comes out again, high of 47, so that's good, and then a high of 46 on Sunday with a partly sunny.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th annual Business Expo and Food Showcase presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And we're having issues with Facebook Live, so no Facebook Live this week, but I will definitely post pictures and comments and the link when we get it for our guest today, who is Megan Deaton, and she is the co-president of the Moms Helping Moms Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, and let's talk about, well, maybe try the other, try over here. Sorry, we're having microphone issues. Let's see if that works. Sorry. Okay, try that one.
Hi, thank you
okay,
for having
perfect.
Me.
Sorry. Okay, we got to be nimble on our feet here. So, okay, perfect. So welcome, Megan, and we're so happy to have you today. And why don't you start out by telling everybody what Moms Helping Moms does?
Sure. So Moms Helping Moms Foundation is a baby supply and diaper bank. And we collect gently used baby gear and clothing and new diapers, wipes, and hygiene items for local families in need. And we serve all of New Jersey, but we mostly are focusing right now on northern and central New Jersey.
Great. And since you're the co-president, can you tell us about your other co-president and the founder and how Sure. this all came to be?
Absolutely. So Bridget Cutler is our founder and other co-president slash executive director. And she started Moms Helping Moms back in 2011. We were in Hoboken at the time. She read an article about a mother who had to give her child up for adoption because she could not afford to take care of it. She couldn't afford the basics like diapers and formula and whatnot. And that really resonated with her. And she couldn't find a place to sort of get involved and help, you know, and help other mothers out. So she started posting around town in Hoboken for people who could donate stuff. And then she started going around to the lower income areas and putting up flyers that she had diapers, she had clothing, she had some other items, and people were welcome to come to her garage and take it. And at the same time, I was at home with two babies and was feeling very overwhelmed by motherhood and was also looking for a place to donate all of my extra stuff because I was in an apartment, and I found Bridget looking for stuff. I couldn't find another organization that would take it to donate to.
And so you found her online?
I found her online. I found her on a Facebook forum, something like that. And I said, oh, I have all this stuff. I'll give it to you and you can give it to families. And she showed up at my door to pick it up. And I said, I would love to help you. And she said, okay. And now here we are.
I love
and
how
half
that.
Years later.
And that's such a positive social media story. I love that because it really has the power to connect.
It really does. And, you know, she had connected with a few other moms in her local moms group who also sort of joined in. And we hit the ground running from there. And it took off. We realized there was a really great need for it and a lot of people that could use the stuff, and also a lot of people in the community that had stuff to donate and wanted it to go to a good home.
And so where is the need? Do you partner with other organizations that support these different communities, right?
We do. So we have evolved over time. When we first started, we were going straight to the low-income housing communities in Hoboken, and we were helping families directly. We would invite them to Bridget's Garage. Once we outgrew that, we would borrow a community room, and every 3 months we would put all of our collected donations in a room and invite families to come take them. And it just kept growing from there. And so over time, we started stopping direct service. It was for several reasons. It was complicated. We started applying for funding that didn't want us to do it that way. So now we go through third-party organizations. We work with about 40 other organizations, social service organizations. We work with churches, schools, social service agencies. There's all sorts of various types.
Right. I think I saw Family Promise on there.
There's
a Family Promise of Hunterdon.
Yep.
Yep.
So we work with a lot of organizations like that, and they have clients that need baby gear, baby items, sometimes just diapers, mm-hmm. And they fill out an application of what they need, and they send it to us, and we pack up a bag, and then the social worker or representative of the organization comes to pick it up. So we're currently working with about 40, but we actually do have a wait list of a few more organizations, and we're just, you know, plugging away, trying to get everybody the list.
Well, it's a bad problem to have, but a good problem to have, meaning that you're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That people want to be with you. And you transitioned somehow along the line from Hoboken to North Plainfield, I'm guessing?
We did. So we started out as the Hoboken Moms Helping Moms. And then we, the four of us that kind of were involved in starting it up, all moved out to the suburbs, to the Chatham, Summit, Maplewood, Westfield area, New Providence. And so we moved the whole operation out there. And by that time, we had really realized that the need was bigger than we thought it was. You know, we had outgrown Hoboken and Jersey City by that point anyway. Once we got out here, we moved into our first office, which was tiny. It was about the size of a bedroom. And we set up like a little store for people to come, you know, quote unquote shop, but everything was free. And then we outgrew that very fast, probably about the day we moved in. And we moved into our first warehouse about a year and a half ago.
Oh.
And so now we're in North Plainfield.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this core four that you were talking about. So Bridget's one of them, and then yourself, and then how did the other two?
Sure. Okay. So Jackie and Jerusha. Jackie McCormick, she is in Westfield, and Jerusha Alexic, who is now our development director. Okay. Those three met in a mom's group, the Hoboken Hospital mom's group, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And everybody would just had this overwhelming feeling of, you know, motherhood is a lot harder than you think it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, while you're waiting for that baby to be born. And we realized we were in such an amazing community where people had young families in small apartments. And you sort of start to realize, like, how much stuff you accumulate with a baby and how much you need, how much you don't need, and how much you use for, like, a month.
Exactly.
And then it's still in perfectly good shape, and it needs a good home. And so everybody just sort of realized we had this amazing resource of families in Hoboken that could help out other families in Hoboken that desperately needed it, you know, and could really benefit from it. And that's kind of how the Core Four got started. And everybody comes from different backgrounds. Bridget comes from an accounting background. Jerusha came from a social work and nonprofit development background. Jackie is in a communications background. And I had a nonprofit and a teaching background.
Nice.
So, you know, it's an eclectic group. None of us really had running a nonprofit status. None of us really knew when we started that we were starting a nonprofit. We did not know what a diaper bank was. We didn't realize we were starting a diaper bank. And so it's really been an amazing process to sort of learn about it as it goes and to watch ourselves grow and to make it all happen. Bridget is a very driven leader. And there's been so many times where she's had these visions of things that we could do. Like, oh, you know, we're going to get nonprofit status. And I was like, well, gosh, that sounds hard and complicated. Mm-hmm. But she made it happen. You know, she had visions of moving into an office by the time our kids were in school. She made that happen 3 years before our kids got in school.
Nice. Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's been amazing to sort of be under her, like, leadership and just to watch her drive and to be inspired by it. And so it's been an amazing journey.
Oh, that's incredible. And you're having a blast, right? I mean,
we are. And, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom as my day job, and mm-hmm. so is Bridget. And this has given us something to, you know, a way to give back, a way to focus, and just,
and you're good role models for your kids and for the community and for others, right?
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Our kids come to the warehouse.
No, that's good. Well, I wanted to ask about that too, about volunteering, because my neighbor who homeschools and she has four kids, and she said, you know, can you please, she knows I'm a volunteer freak, and, you know, she said, can you just please tell me if you know of any volunteer opportunities? So I wanted to ask you what your volunteers do, because I know even with my own kids trying to get them to volunteer, they have to be 12 or they have to be 16 or 18 with liability and all that stuff. But it'd be nice if there were more examples of what kids can do. So tell us how your volunteer network works.
So our volunteer network, our warehouse is also set up for 12 and older. We ask that they be just, a warehouse.
Yeah, no,
it's
I get it.
But that said, we do try to involve the younger kids. We all have younger kids. They all have Boy Scout, Girl Scout troops and whatnot. So there's always a way to get them involved. Sometimes they'll take bins of clothing to where they're having their Boy Scout or Girl Scout meeting, and they can sort there.
Oh,
sort
that's a great
there.
Idea.
We have people, you know, kids host diaper drives for us in schools and stuff like that. But our volunteers are really sort of core to our and any nonprofit's, you know, growth and sustainability. So we have a lot of volunteers that come into the warehouse, individuals. We have corporate groups. And we really rely on them to kind of get the work done and to get the stuff out the door to the kids, to the families and the babies. And, you know, people can find us on our website. They can contact us to volunteer, or they can contact us to see how, like, a younger group of kids can get involved, too.
And the website is?
The website is www.momshelpingmomsfoundation.org.
And is it the same on Twitter and Twitter and Facebook and all that? And
Facebook, yes. I have to look up our Twitter.
Well, if you're on Twitter. Well, I'm sure they can find it.
I don't think we're very active on Twitter at the moment, but Facebook and Instagram we are.
Oh, Instagram too. Yeah, you have to pick your platform, I think, right? You know what I mean? So,
We're constantly navigating and learning how to use social media.
I know, right? I know. And it's kind of a bit, once you're familiar with it, then it's not so bad, but I'm still waiting on the Instagram because I can't add one more thing right now. So. No, but I mean, but then you reach different people when you can, you know, the more platforms you're on. Yeah. So it's just, but it's, you know, baby steps and growing and just doing what you can when you can, right? Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take a really quick break and then we'll be back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. We're back. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. It's a show about volunteers, foundations, donations, organizations, everybody, different people in the community that are helping others. And today we're talking to the Moms Helping Moms Foundation. We're talking with Megan Deaton, who is the co-president of Moms Helping Moms. Hi, Megan.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's so fun. And we're talking all kinds of different things, but you mentioned a minute ago you had no idea what a diaper bank was. I've never heard of a diaper bank. So kind of tell us what that is and how you supply or build your supply of diapers,
sure.
I should say.
So a diaper bank operates much like a food bank does. We collect new and open packs of diapers, all sizes, as well as unopened wipes and toiletries. And, you know, one in three families struggles to buy diapers in the United States, and often they have to choose between buying food and buying diapers. And a lot of government programs don't cover them, which if you think about it, is not a good thing, but you don't want people to have to use their food stamps to buy diapers because they need them to buy food. They shouldn't have
yeah,
to
that's
choose.
True. Yeah.
So we give out approximately, I think, 50 diapers a month to each family that comes to us, which is roughly about half of what they usually need, depending on the age. But diapers are expensive, and we are able to collect them. We collect them through diaper drives, schools, churches, community organizations. A lot of people will hold diaper drives for us. And we collect open packs, which is nice for families who, you know, oftentimes you open a pack of diapers, use one or two, and then poof, your baby outgrows them overnight, and then you don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
We can repackage them and give them out to families. We are also able to buy diapers at about a third of the cost of the average person going to the store through our nonprofit channels, through the National Diaper Bank Network. And we also are members of Baby to Baby National Network. They're out in L.A.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on the website. That looked like a cool thing, too.
Yeah. They're we call them the Hollywood version of
I love it.
They do exactly what we do, but on a larger scale in Los Angeles. Okay. And they have all these Hollywood connections, and they really are very generous with it. They have about 20 organizations around the country, just like us.
Okay.
And they sort of share the love. They recently sent us 200,000 diapers from the Honest Company.
Wow.
Which is about how many we're ready to give out this year. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
So we operate just like a food bank. We get donated diapers. We are able to purchase diapers at a lower cost, and then we distribute them through our network organizations, are the nonprofits and social service agencies that we work with.
Right. And we were talking a little bit offline about cloth diapers and other options, because I found the statistic. The third largest contributor to landfills in the world is diapers and disposable diapers, and only 5% of the population uses diapers. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And they said a diaper takes 500 years to biodegrade.
Like a plastic bag.
I know. So when I had my last kid, I tried to do the G diaper, which it takes more effort, but I already have like a compost pile, and that's kind of where you put them. And it's more effort. I mean, I get it. And so, and then we talked about both have our California backgrounds. And if you're in California, you definitely are environmentally aware of your forced to be. And when my first daughter was born in California, and we were constantly battling, should I do disposable? Should I do the cloth? So tell us about, educate us about diapers.
So I think cloth diapers are awesome if you have the ability to maintain them. What people don't realize, I think, about cloth diapers is someone's got to wash them, right? So people who use cloth diapers are either paying for a service to clean them or they're putting them in a washing machine. A lot of the families that we serve don't have access to a washing machine, and you can't wash them in a laundromat. The other reason we don't do cloth diapers is that most daycare centers require usually about a 2-week supply of disposable diapers. Yep. They will not use cloth diapers.
Yeah.
So for that reason, for those reasons both, we tend to not do cloth diapers.
Yeah, that makes sense. And most of these women are working parents, right? A lot of these families.
They're working parents, which leads me to another fact, if you don't mind. It's the National Diaper Bank Network study has shown, losing my train of thought here.
That's okay.
But daycare centers require 2 weeks worth of diapers. So without diapers, you cannot send a child to daycare. Without daycare, you cannot go to work.
Correct.
Without going to work, you cannot earn the money to buy diapers.
It's a chain.
It's a real cycle of poverty. So, you know, our mission is to kind of help these parents stay on their feet, get back on their feet if they need to, by providing the diapers that they need to send their kids to daycare to, you know, allow them to go to work and provide for their families, which we think is sort of an empowering, you know,
yeah, thing for absolutely. These
families. Nobody wants to not be able to take care of their kids.
Right, right, of course. And one, well, and then the other, you do, you have a lot of associated programs with what you offer, dental advocacy, mm-hmm. and my personal favorite, early literacy. So you, yeah. can you tell us what you're doing in that realm?
Absolutely. So the literacy program is something we started in the last few years. Also through the National Diaper Bank Network, they have a big literacy program that they've been working on. And it's just, it focuses on how important reading and speech is to a child's development, to a baby's development. Simple things such as talking to your baby, singing to your baby, just constantly providing a flow of speech to the child. And reading, as you know, is so vital to a young child's development, and it starts early, early on as a language component.
Right.
So we have started trying to make sure that every child, every bag that goes out our door has at least two books. If we have them at the moment, we try to give one new book and one gently used book. If we don't have any new ones, then we try to make sure they get two gently used books. And it's a program that we're hoping to build upon as we go.
Yeah, do you have a problem getting books, or where do you source your books?
No, there's a couple of organizations that donate to us. We haven't advertised too highly that we take them yet, because we do get an inflow from our regular donors who donate baby items.
Yeah.
And then when we're low, we've also had a couple of donations of new books from Baby to Baby. Mm-hmm. And then the National Diaper Bank Network. Mm-hmm. As we run low, if we sort of put a call out that we need some, our donors are quick to go clean out their bookshelves.
Yeah, that's nice. And well, and I've developed a really good friendship with Tomiko Hubbard of Sweet Reads. She started Sweet Reads out here, okay. and she gets so many books. Of she gets some new and some gently used, but she has so many books. So I'm always trying to partner people up.
Oh, absolutely.
So I definitely will put you in contact with her. Yeah, so she's great. And that would be because and they talk about vocabulary. There's something like a gap of about 30 million words. I know it's astronomical between a baby that it doesn't grow up around language and books and a kid that does.
Right. And there's a big correlation too between how many books a child and a baby has access to and books in the home to academic success and success in life later on. So we're just trying to give them a start. And
which makes sense, and you've got access to that demographic, which is key, you know. And if you're giving it to them, then it's in the home. It's the diapers are going in the home. The books might as well.
Absolutely. And as we grow and we get more warehouse space and we can keep more books in the warehouse, I'm sure we will, you know, grow how many books we give to each child, because they're out there.
Yeah. Are you already busting at the seams with your current location?
We were busting at the seams about the day we moved in,
which
I think is a common problem with nonprofits. It's one of those things, the more space you have, the more donations you're able to take.
Yeah.
So for example, I was telling you before, Baby to Baby just gave us 200,000 diapers from the Honest Company, and they call and say, hey, I've got this, you know, donation for you. You're not going to say no, you're going to find a way to fit it in the warehouse. And so we are packed to the seams, but it moves out very quickly.
I was going to say,
You know, we help about 1,300 individuals a month.
Wow.
So a lot of times when stuff comes in, it's not even getting put back on the shelf. It's getting sent back out. So it also speaks to our donors and how much, you know, how much donated items we get from local families and stuff.
So you've got an active following and a responsive following, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. They just jump too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what does the Whirlwind Bridget have on the horizon for the future?
Well, we've been building our team, which is good. We just hired, about a year and a half ago, we hired our director of development, which was a big step for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amazing program director who works for us part-time,
mm-hmm.
and then a couple of warehouse staff that work for us part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we'd love to grow our team. You know, a small nonprofit is always busting at all the seams, both physically and, you know, with staff and volunteers. So we're trying to do that. We do need a new warehouse space, but, you know.
Anybody out there has a warehouse that's idle, please let them know.
Yeah, so they would like to donate or give it a low-cost rate. That would be.
Do you want to keep it in North Plainfield, or do you want to have it somewhere else?
We'll probably stay in the North Plainfield, New Providence,
that
area, because that's where we've built our following. And also that's where we live, and we all work part-time, and our moms, you know, in the day job. So that's where we can get to.
Yep.
But when we all dispersed from Hoboken, we moved into that general suburban area. We all live in different towns. And so we've really been able to build an amazing network of nice. Donors and followers and supporters and volunteers. So yeah, we'll probably stay up in that area, but we do plan on expanding to serve most of New Jersey.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got growth on the horizon with your annual big fundraiser, which is the Snowball, right?
Yes,
so why don't you tell us about that.
So our Snowball, this is our fifth annual Snowball. It's always a good time. It's always a good party. It's our gala in January 26th at Shackamax and Country Club in Westfield. We just started sending out invitations and flyers yesterday, but it's open to anyone who wants to buy a ticket and come. And they can find more information on our website, www.momshelpingmomsfoundation.org/snowball. And that is our biggest fundraiser of the year. Most of our funding comes from private donors.
Yeah.
So that's a really important night for us. But it's a good time. We're doing a fund a need this year, like a paddle raise.
Oh, nice.
We have a raffle, sit-down dinner.
I can give you a basket. I always get baskets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And beer and wine, raffle, music, and more, cocktail attire. So that sounds exciting.
It's a fun night out in the middle of winter. You know.
Yeah, well, because all of the holiday hoopla's kind of died down, and you're ready to kind of.
Yeah, but you want to wear that holiday party dress.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, that sounds fun. So, yeah, check that out if you want to book your calendar for January 26th. Check out the Snowball. Do you have a band or anything, or how does it usually work?
We are doing a DJ this year.
Nice. Okay.
So it's always a dance party at the end of the night.
Oh, fun!
Usually it gets extended an hour or so.
Okay, good. Well, that's always fun.
Yeah,
that sounds good. All right, what? So do you want to talk a little bit more about the dental program? It's not dentists, but it's like toothbrush bags, right?
Yeah. So we started this in the past year. We have a local New Providence dentist that wanted to give back to the community. And so she donates toothbrushes, and we try to make sure every family gets at least one for the for each child.
Nice.
That is one of our newest programs.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
So how do these evolve? Did the dentist approach you and say, oh, I love that?
She was establishing herself in New Providence.
Aww.
And wanted to give back and get involved in the community. And leading up to Diaper Need Awareness Week, which was back in September, she was donating for every new client she got. She was donating a certain portion,
aww,
which is nice. We have a lot of local communities that get involved in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's so great. I think it's becoming more and more, you know, the giant corporations have their corporate social responsibility, but there's also all these small businesses that can give back in a different, unique, local way too.
Yes, so. Which is very important to a small organization like us.
Yeah.
You know, people will do exercise classes. All the bar studios like to do yoga studios. And so it's good.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, can you tell us a little bit more also about the volunteer opportunities? Kind of walk us through. Actually, there's one going right now, an open warehouse today.
Today. So we have open warehouse days open volunteer warehouse days a couple days a month. We've tried to do it the second Saturday of every month, and then certain Wednesdays. So those are always posted on our website, or they can email volunteers@momshelpingmomsfoundation.org to get more information. But we survive on people helping us in the warehouse, and it involves coming in, sorting clothing. We get a lot of clothing for ages 0 to 5. We have to sort through every bit of it. We sort it by season, by gender, by age, and just general warehouse tasks. It's not glamorous by any means, but it's important, and it really, we can't get stuff out the door to the families that need it without our volunteers.
Yeah.
So sometimes it involves packing bags. Last week, somebody was stamping and labeling Snowball invitations for me, which I know maybe wasn't what she expected to come in and do that day. But for me, who was in charge of that task, it was immensely helpful and vital to the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I find comfort in these menial manual tasks. I was helping the 100 in Chamber a couple weeks ago do, you know, stamping the envelopes for the newsletter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I'm happy to help. Right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, but it's important.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
So if they contact the website, then they'll say, oh, come to the warehouse, and you might be doing this or that, but it's usually like an hour or two commitment, or just depending.
Yep,
right?
Whatever you can give, we'll take, is pretty much how it works. I think our volunteer days are usually from 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. But if you can come and stay for an hour, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'll even on your lunch hour if you're nearby, right?
Lunch hour. And we also have a lot of corporate groups that come in or small business groups that come in, and we can arrange those for certain days. We have moms groups that come in, nice. And we're always happy to arrange a different day. Whatever works for them is helpful to us.
Yeah.
It's always amazing to me to see what a group of 10 volunteers from like a business community or can do in 2 hours' time. You know, we have stacks of lists of things that we need to get done in the warehouse that we just physically can't get to.
Right.
They come in and in 2 hours it's done, and it's nice. Amazing. So it takes an army.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, and what I tell people is like, you need to just do it. You have time for what you make time for. And even if you only have 1 hour, your lunch hour, or one Saturday, spend 2 hours and come and check it out. So yeah, maybe you meet the people and you love it and you want to continue doing this or donate, but then maybe you're like, this isn't really what I was expecting or what I wanted, so I'm going to try something else. Yep. So yeah.
And that's really how a lot of our core volunteers kind of got started. They came in, started sorting clothing for us on a regular basis, and now they're deeply involved in the organization.
I know. Well, it's like a separate family. I mean, really, you know, it's a community, and it's, you're helping people and you're having fun and you're talking and collaborating and
And I think it's also fun, you know, to be sort of at this level to get involved and sort of be part of our growth. I think people really enjoy that. We have
it's like a startup.
Yeah.
We're angel investors.
Very grassroots, even though we've been doing this for 7 years.
Yeah, but that has like a fun, it's a fun vibe, right?
Yeah.
We
have a great team, so.
Nice. Well, what other, and the other thing I noticed is Bridget is a CNN hero.
Yeah.
That's quite a kudos to her, right?
That was back, 2015. So she was nominated as a CNN hero. She was one of the 25 finalists. And that was amazing on so many levels. A, because she got honored for what she's been doing and all of that. That moment really helped put us on a trajectory for growth.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of, we got a lot of donations from that, you know, just people seeing us. It was a lot of national recognition. It was a lot of local recognition. And we were able to get enough donations to move into our first office.
Nice.
And it was just really, it was amazing for her to be honored. And it was amazing to see what an opportunity like that could do for a small group like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we really owe a lot of our current path to that moment.
Do you know how she got nominated or who found her or saw her?
I don't remember exactly. I want to say somebody that knew her. And knew her drive and what she had been doing nominated her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm sure there were a lot of people that were nominated. So for her to be picked was pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, I think that's incredible. Stories like that are great.
Yeah.
So do you have any stories of different families or people that you've helped? I know you can't name names and all that, but like stories of families that have gotten back on their feet just because they can now don't have to shell out millions
absolutely.
Of dollars for diapers.
Absolutely. We help all sorts of families, everyone from teen moms to single parents to, you know, families who have just hit some bumps in the road. And one family that we've been helping actually for quite some time, they are both veterans.
Mm.
And they had 3 children. I believe the husband was hurt in combat.
Mm.
And they moved back and they accidentally got pregnant. You know,
It happens
to a lot of us.
Yeah.
And he had been hurt, so they had trouble getting back on their feet, and they contacted us, and we helped them out. That was back when we were doing direct service. And to this day, we're still helping them out, but it's they've really grown, and their appreciation for what we do, it always makes you feel good. They have 4 kids that they're trying to take care of. At one point they were living in a hotel. And if we can just help out by giving them some clothing or, you know, a pack and play for the baby to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she is back in school now.
She's good for her.
You know, she was on track to get her degree.
Wow.
Before she got pregnant and before they got were deployed. So it's heartwarming to see that they've come full circle and they're working on getting back on their feet. There's a couple teen moms that we help. We worked with North Plainfield High School.
Wow.
And one of them, they're doing a video for us for our snowball gala to tell their story.
Oh,
so as soon as we get that, we'll share that again.
Oh,
nice. Trying to think of some other specifics.
No, that's good. Yeah. So what what advice would you give to people that either what have you learned the most through this growth and through this experience, or what just give us some takeaways just for us to learn more about how it all went down?
I've sort of learned that anything is possible, and if you have an idea or if you think that there's a problem you can work on helping to solve, like you should do it. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, at home sitting in an apartment with two babies, sort of overwhelmed, thinking, oh my God, how do people who don't have resources and who are on their own, single parents, are now my hero. Mm-hmm. Like, how do they do it? How can I help? Mm-hmm. And then I found Bridget, and together we sort of took it to a new level. So I think the moral of our story is you can help, you can make a difference, you can, you know, have an impact on people's lives. And even if it's small, we started out just thinking we would help people in Hoboken. Mm. And now, you know, we're working on all of New Jersey. So I think, you know, don't give up, keep going, and you can make it happen.
Right. Well, if you're passionate about something and you're passionate about helping it, I think it will find a way to work out. Right.
Right.
If the core is good and strong and solid. And I think people don't realize that until you actually have your own child, you have no idea.
No idea.
I mean, I wanted kids so badly, and I was so excited, and I was like, wow, this is really hard. I mean, you know, it's just, yeah. It's, well, I think part of it too is that we're all, some people have their family close by, but most people move across the country or overseas or this or that. And you don't have that network that was around 50 years ago or whatever. So.
Right. And if, you know, if you're on your own, I had an amazing husband who was a hands-on dad. We had two babies, so there wasn't a whole lot of choice. There was always somebody with a baby in their arms. But I would constantly be grateful for his, you know, partnership and his support. And I just kept thinking, like, wow, there's so many people out there who do this on their own, and they are amazing, strong people. How can I help support them?
So. Yeah. Yeah. So I always wanted twins until I had one. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way. Like,
I think I was in denial that I was actually having two babies until they came home from the hospital. And then I was like, oh, what did we do?
Here we go. Oh, that's so fun though. That's great. I mean, I just love babies. Like, you know, they're the best.
Yeah.
They're the best. So I think that maybe to what you're doing, people just, how can you not help babies and families with babies? You know?
Right. You know, the baby didn't ask to be born in its situation.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing to make an impact.
Yep. That's amazing. So, all right, well, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. We're back. You're listening to Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Moms Helping Moms Foundation. We have Megan Deaton here, who is the co-president. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Well, we were just talking over the break and I was so excited. So earlier in the show, I talked about connecting her with Tamika, who does Sweet Reads, who was on the show in February. And I love connecting people. And she just reminded me that another woman that had contacted me, I think she found me through the chamber and said, we've got all this office furniture that we don't want to throw in a landfill or throw in the trash, which they've been doing this for 10 years, I think, or a few years. Mm-hmm. And so she said, are there any nonprofits that you know that need office furniture? And so I blasted it out to like 10 nonprofits and Moms Helping Moms was one of them.
Yes, it's funny because when you run a small nonprofit, you're on a very strict budget. So any furniture that we have has been collected from our house or literally taken off the street when people put it out for bulk right. pickup. We desperately needed something simple like office chairs.
Right.
And I remembered seeing your email after sitting in my colleague's chair thinking it was the most uncomfortable thing. I was like, oh, wait, Nicole sent me an email. I'm so sorry. I forget the organization's name, but Larry, they were taking down an old Erickson building.
Yep.
They were going to either revitalize the building or tear it down.
I think in Piscataway, maybe?
In Piscataway. Yeah. And it was probably a 12-story building full of office furniture right. that was going to go literally into the crusher that day. Ugh. And I called her and I was like, I need 6 office chairs. Do you have any? And she was like, I will go. And she went in the building and she found me 6 matching office chairs.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I pulled up, there was another school district that was taking a truckload full of office chairs. And they had so much to give away. I wish we could have taken more, but we didn't have space for it. So that was an awesome connection.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, and then one of the other groups that was on our show, I forget the name, but they were on, and he was one of the ones I contacted, and he emailed me right away. He's like, yes, we are calling her, and yeah, and they got some stuff because it's all office furniture that a nonprofit needs.
Perfectly good office furniture that yeah. we don't have the funds for. So
yeah, and good. I forget too because they had a really cool name for their group, and I can't remember what it is right now for the I think she called them. They call themselves the Dumpster Diving Divas, I think.
Oh. That's awesome.
So, but they're trying to, again, it's just all about communication and sharing yeah. resources.
There's so many resources out there that you learn about along the way and don't realize are there, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and then it was funny. So Tamiko and I we're going to do a comedy show in January, February with Ha Ha for Humanity. Robert was on the show.
Oh, well, fun.
And so we were talking about the certain bar we were going to do it at, and we were going to go check it out. And he does Uber driving on the side.
Okay.
So literally within 2 days of us talking about this is the bar we want to do it at, blah, blah, his Uber passenger said, can you take me to X bar? And he lives like 45 minutes from here.
Okay.
So, I mean, so just all random. Small world. Random. I know. And I was like, wow. Okay. That's a sign. It's meant to be. So I'll have more information on our upcoming comedy show later on. But yeah, it's just incredible the connections, and that is exactly what the goal of this show for me was to connect more people to volunteer opportunities, to connect volunteer organizations with each other. And right, since I have 1 second, I'm going to plug the Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum coming up. The Red Mill Museum is the iconic mill in Clinton, New Jersey. So Saturday, November 24th from noon to 5 in 56 Main Street in Clinton, they're having their Winter Village, which I guess it's kind of handcrafted event. It's a market space vendor events event. And one of the founders or one of the organizers was on a different show on Hunterdon Radio, I think earlier this week. So So, nice. Yeah, come on, because the holiday shopping time is coming up, and I always say give something that gives back. So if you, yeah, the little fun little handmade things support local vendors and local artisans, so that's great. But also if you, you know, maybe your teacher, your kid's teacher is a new mom, you could give a donation to Moms Helping Moms in their honor.
Absolutely.
I think that is just, I think that, I say just make a donation, because then you don't, like I was saying, you have too much stuff.
Too much
we
stuff.
Don't need more stuff. So make a donation in the name of someone, because teachers don't need more mugs. They don't, you know, they don't. They don't need stuff. They need warmth and community and generosity.
Right.
That's what they need. So, so think about that when you're doing stocking stuffers or getting gifts for teachers or anybody in your life. And what else do we want to share with everybody about Moms Helping Moms?
You know, a lot of people ask us how they can get involved and how they can, you know, donate or volunteer. So if people go to our website, MomsHelpingMomsFoundation.org/get involved. We have a whole diaper drive toolkit on there that people can use. It's really easy to host a diaper drive and collect diapers. Everything is on there that you need. There's instructions, there's flyers, there's signs, there's a diaper count, because it's really helpful to us if you count the diapers before you bring them to us. Saves us a lot of time.
200,000.
Yeah, 200,000 would be great. And in terms of a diaper drive, like, no amount is too small. You may collect 50 diapers, you may collect 5,000, and it's all very much appreciated, and it all goes to a good home. And again, something that people really like that we do is we take open packs of diapers, mm-hmm. and we are able to repackage them. So they are not going to waste. You don't have to throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hosting a diaper drive is a very easy way to get involved, and a lot of people like doing it for us, and it's greatly appreciated. There's also information on how to volunteer, and there's also information on how to donate. We're funded mostly by private donors, and again, we are able through our nonprofit channels to buy diapers at about a third of the price that the average person can buy them in the store, so we can stretch your dollar.
Yeah, and I think the drives are good, especially for little kids, because if they have something tangible, like the book drives or diapers, like, oh, I'm giving this diaper to another little baby, like, they, you know, that's something that kids can understand, and you can introduce them to giving.
Absolutely, and a lot of schools these days, I think, are really pushing to do different types of charity drives, and there's a lot of food drives, a lot of diaper drives, book drives.
Yep.
I think the kids, when they see it, just like you said, you know, it's a tangible thing. They mm-hmm. see the collection, and they see it. My kids, anyway, my kids get to see where it goes, and they see that it goes out the door. So when we hold a drive in my kids' school, every day they come home, I'm like, Mom, there's no diapers in the box yet. Mom, there's 2 boxes of diapers in the box. I get the report every day, and it's
so
really
nice.
Cute. So it's a really great way to get the kids involved.
So they see it. I mean, it drives it home for them. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so are they scouts, did you say? Are they in scouts?
Yeah, I have a Boy Scout and a Girl Scout.
Oh, I love that.
Because the
scouts are always doing all kinds of things. My daughter did her Gold Award, which I was so impressed that she did that.
Mm-hmm.
And scouting is definitely fosters all kinds of giving and doing. And
getting involved. So it's a good partnership.
So the troop was doing that. That's good. All right. And once again, the snowball is
January 26th.
And then,
Scotch Plains at Shackamax and Country Club.
That's cool.
Yeah. Tickets are on sale now on our website.
Oh, I know I want to ask you about the Scouts. So which service unit are you guys in? Are you Girl Scouts Hearts of New Jersey? Or are you?
We are Girl Scouts of Northern New Jersey.
Northern New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. Which is one of the biggest in the whole country.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're amazing. I think they said, I don't know if it's flipped, but St. Louis was kind of number one. But I think Bergen or Northern New Jersey is number two in the nation, I think, for number of Girl Scouts. And we're Hearts of New Jersey, which is also great. But the World Thinking Day is coming up in February. And so I think Westfield used to try and do this, but they're going to do a World Thinking Day where they have different troops represent different countries and have kids go around. So we had Tara Fakwire from the Girl Scouts here on the show. She was one of my first guests earlier this year. So we're always talking about scouting is a great way to get your kids involved in helping others from the get-go.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My
and
kids have both had such positive experiences with
the Scouts. Well, and also I tell people that it depends on the leader. It really does, because you don't have to be super intense. You can keep it bare bones, and so it's not an overwhelming task. If you don't have to go to a camp out every weekend and make crafts out the wazoo. And like,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's all a meaningful experience.
Yeah. Are you part of the leader or no?
I'm not the leader. We have an amazing Girl Scout leader and an amazing Boy Scout leader, but okay. I am the troop cookie mom.
There you go. Well, it's just a task in and of itself.
Yeah. I'd like to say I keep pretty busy with Moms Helping Moms, but cookie mom is something I can do for a few months a year.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And yeah, no. Okay. Well, that's good. And you have good leaders that love, and the kids are loving it, right? Yeah.
Loving it.
And they can do it with their friends. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard when they get to middle school and beyond. It's hard to, because you have so many things competing for their time, whether it's sports or music or friends or coolness or whatever. But luckily my daughter persevered just because she was geeky enough that I got her to stay.
Nice. Hope my kids do
well, and it came back around because she, at the end, she was, you know, she just wanted to get it done. She wasn't sure she wanted to complete it. I said, just do. And so now she was interviewing for an off-campus job, and the guy said, he goes, oh, I noticed that you did your gold award and I'm very impressed. And I was like, woohoo.
Yeah.
So
job applications, college applications,
exactly.
It looks good on all of the
above.
Yeah,
so if you can keep them in there, it really, and I, you know, I used this sneak tactic where I just said, stay in one more year, and then she was at the end, I'm like, yay. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? So my other daughter never was in Girl Scouts, never wanted to be. She was more of a sports fanatic, and I was like, fine. So yeah, they all have their little things that they do. Yeah. So let's go back to really quick what else you learned, what you think you've learned from growing with this organization, and why should people get involved with the organization or any nonprofit?
I think people should get involved in any nonprofit that speaks to them. You know, I got involved in this because being a new mom terrified me, to be honest. And this was a way I could sort of, you know, make a difference in other terrified new moms' lives, maybe. And I, you know, I think there's so many amazing organizations out there and nonprofits out there. And I've really learned what a community the nonprofit world is. Mm-hmm. And through that, I've learned about so many different types of organizations. There's, you know, farming organizations, there's homelessness organizations. Anything that you connect with or are interested in, I think is a great way to get involved and, you know, just go volunteer somewhere and see how you like it. Or if there's an issue that you think needs to be solved and can't find someone else that's doing it, then you can look into starting it.
Yeah, either find a fit or start your own,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's such an exciting time in social entrepreneurship because we're breaking barriers, we're finding new ways. Well, and nonprofits have always been completely innovative because you have to be, right?
You have to be.
I know.
You
so
don't have
I think,
the money to pay for things.
Right, and I think it's so exciting. And I think, I don't know, I'm not a statistician or philosopher or researcher or anything, but I think we're going away from having these giant government-funded programs that are just behemoths and full of bureaucracy where people are actually in the grassroots area and just doing it.
Right.
Right.
And I think people like to get involved in the more grassroots organizations sometimes too, because they see what an impact has. Our volunteers and our supporters know, they've heard of the organizations that we're helping, you know, that our clients are coming through. So they, and when we were in Hoboken, people liked to give us their used baby gear because they knew that on like Saturday, another family in Hoboken was going to come take that baby seat or that stroller or those diapers. And I think people, you know, sometimes maybe it connects them to a community, to their own community.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. So yeah. Just on down the road. And I agree. And like you said, when I was in San Francisco with my first little baby, we already had some kind of a network for sharing things. Cause yeah, it's a plastic thing you use for 2 or 3 months and then it, you know, yeah. So I think, and they're sturdy and durable. And now even with the social media platforms, it's easier to just move that stuff around.
Absolutely.
So yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Well, Megan, thank you so much for your time today. And we learned so much and I had so much fun.
Thank you for having me. Me too.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The National Guard is now helping search through the charred remains of what used to be Paradise, California, that Northern California town wiped out by what's been called the most destructive fire in that state's history, and with 48 people listed as dead from it so far, the deadliest in the United States, according to one fire official. They're afraid that number is going to climb. This man was able to save his house in Paradise by using water from his pool. and he says he's going to stay.
If they get water and power back, I'll live like a normal person, except for the sadness of losing everybody else.
In Southern California, the Woolsey Fire, which has killed at least two people, is now up to 47% contained. An Air Force pilot killed in the crash of a fighter jet at Laughlin Air Base in Texas last night. A second pilot's hospitalized. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Outgoing Florida Governor Rick Scott is at the U.S. Capitol for meetings with newly elected senators, even though the Florida Senate race has not yet been certified as a recount's continuing. The Republican Scott with a very slim lead over the Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson when that recount began. First Lady Melania Trump's office calls for a top White House aide to be fired in a statement saying Deputy National Security Advisor Mira Ricardo, quote, no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House. Democratic strategist Paul Begala's take on it.
First ladies have always been influential. Edith Wilson ran the country when her husband had a stroke. Nancy Reagan fired the chief of staff to the president, but she did it behind the scenes.
Right, behind the scenes.
Right.
That's
so
the
what's
key.
Wrong with more transparency? She's being more open. She's being more transparent. Now, she should state her reasons.
He was speaking on CNN. Ricardo's been a top aide to National Security Advisor John Bolton. Remember, we're online. Find us at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is